You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hi, this is David Cohn. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, June 21st, 2021. Hope you're well. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're together for the next 4.5 hours. And the other 19 and a half, they're your responsibility. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope everybody out there who's applicable had a great Father's Day.
Yeah.
Did you, Donald?
Yes, it was very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got a bunch of
getting
cool
good gifts?
Yeah, Nancy got me this foot massager thing, which was really cool. Because as you get older,
she refuses to do it herself.
Yeah, she's not interested in that. She's got other things. She's got better things to do.
Right.
So, that was really nice, and a couple of cool books, and got to spend time with my brother up at his mansion.
Oh,
very
wow.
Good.
By the way, though, you should be happy, Don. You received gifts that are actual gifts. You know, like you weren't given things that were like items where it just requires you do something.
What does that mean?
Like sometimes I hear from a lot of dads who their gift for Father's Day, it's like a lawnmower, you know?
get to work.
It's like giving the wife a mop on Mother's Day and saying, hey, you know what? You should use this. Clean up a little bit.
Yeah.
I hear about that regularly, but you got something nice to relax with.
I got something very nice.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. So we start off with the Nets. What a disappointing ending to the season. It was a thrilling game. I mean, these games have been amazing, but Kevin Durant ran out of gas. I mean, that's the only way you could look at it. He ran out of gas. He didn't have anything left. He didn't score a point in overtime. And then the last ditch effort ends up losing the game. It would have forced another overtime. But I found out something this weekend that I found fascinating. So the shot that sent the game into overtime that could have won it if it was a three, and if you looked at the line, just like the edge of his toe
both
on each
of
foot
them,
was on the line.
Yeah.
The edge. I mean, well, Ryan Rucco was filling in for Meredith over the weekend, so we talked a lot about the Nets before the game, and he said yesterday, I'd never heard this or read this anywhere, that Kevin Durant wears a sneaker a full size larger than he has to because he likes his feet to be able to move in the sneaker. If that's a normal size sneaker, like the size of his foot, the Nets are in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hawks. How amazing is that?
I just find
game of inches.
I just find it amazing that he likes doing that.
Yeah, that usually gives you blisters if your foot moves up and back in the sneaker.
I would also think it would be a little dangerous for getting footing. I don't know.
Well, that's what he does, so I just thought that was interesting to tell you, and not good.
It's so close, right? That's why it's such folly when we talk about, you know, the what-ifs and choke. You hear, because, listen, I've never seen a local team more eviscerated by its own city than what happened on Saturday. Because that really crystallized, like, the amount of people that were rooting against the Nets. Like, every Knicks fan was rooting against the
Nets.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, the fact that they were a super team. There's a lot of people that got a tremendous amount of pleasure for the way that game ended on Saturday. And I'm seeing choke. I mean, Gordon Damer even tweeted out, choke. What a miserable failure this season was. And you're an inch from advancing on one of the most incredible shots that we've ever seen. Really. On a shot that you figured had no shot of making it. Like, that's how close they are that we're talking about the Nets and the Hawks in the conference finals. So, and not to mention no Kyrie, not to mention that you don't have Harden at 100%. And that close, a literal inch away from one of the most classic Game 7 performances ever, after one of the most classic, you know, Game 5s that we ever saw from KD, all because of a shoe size.
It is kind of interesting. You know, you could put a lot of the blame, I think you could, and you should, on the injuries. Harden, I thought, was heroic, playing with a grade 2 hamstring strain, never coming out of the game. But that's not James Harden. That's not the guy we're used to seeing. And then Kyrie couldn't play because of the ankle injury. But if you take that part aside, they still had enough to win. And if you want to place blame on anybody, I hate to do this, Joe Harris lost the series. Joe Harris was not Joe Harris. Joe Harris is an assassin with the basketball from three-point land. He shot close to 50%. And from game two on, he was terrible. If he had a shot in overtime, he had a wide-open shot, they win the game. And there was a lot of – if he hit the shot in game three where he was wide open, they win that game. There is no game seven, despite the injuries. So,
That's such a good point, Michael.
I just think that Joe Harris really disappointed them.
I have a lot of feelings on this game, but staying right here with the Joe Harris thing. I believe, Michael, in overtime, they were up two. They scored the first basket. It turned out to be their only basket. And it took Milwaukee a while to score. They held the two-point lead for like 2.5 minutes in overtime.
Yeah,
and
neither team scored.
And in one of those spots, I think it was a KD miss, rebound tapped out to Harris. Literally his shot. It is his shot. He hits it all year long, wide open, misses it. That would have made it a 5-point game, which in overtime, which was that tight, 5 would have felt like 10. And throughout the series, unfortunately, Harris went from being this guy who's a key piece of this team to feeling like, are they going to stick with this guy? He ended up appearing expendable during the playoffs. I really felt for him because he couldn't quite understand why. And it was just such an amazing game back and forth. Michael, I don't know the last time I enjoyed an NBA game possession for possession the entire game that much.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, if you're a Net fan, it didn't end great. But, you know, Joe Harris, 32%.
And he's a 40, and he was 48% this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was the highest percentage in basketball. And, you know, I would not jump on it. Like, if it was Nick Claxton, right? Wouldn't jump on Nick Claxton. Nick Claxton's not a part of the starting rotation. But Joe Harris is a starter. Joe Harris's job is to nail that three. Joe Harris's job is to benefit from the defense sloughing off on all the big guys. He failed miserably. I hate to put it on one guy. He failed miserably. Absolutely miserably.
And people need to step up. You're down 1.5 of your big three. And people have to step up. And I'll tell you what. He had moments throughout the series when he wasn't great. But, guys, we said it. I remember saying when Blake Griffin came here, don't be surprised if in the playoffs when playing for a championship, Blake Griffin is capable of a lot more than he's been capable of the last couple of years. And he gave them 17-11 in Game 7.
Yeah, I don't think you can ask much for him.
Yes,
that's a stat now about Harris. Over the last 5 games, you know what the Nets were when he was on the floor? Minus 51.
Yeah.
Over the last what?
5 games. After game 2, he was non-existent. So when the pressure got turned up, now, I've always thought that Joe Harris was a big part of what they do. They might have to reconfigure this team. Yeah, you keep the big three, but they need help. And the biggest loss that they had, in my opinion, in the trade for Harden, was giving up
Karis.
Jared Allen.
Oh, Jared Allen.
They didn't have size. I'm sorry. They didn't have size to combat Giannis. And Giannis is a guy who everybody seems to want to pick apart. He had a masterful game 7. Played downhill, took a couple of 3-point shots that were ill-advised, but boy, he played big. It was Giannis and Durant almost canceling each other out. Now, Durant ended up scoring more points. I get it. But Giannis held serve, and that allowed the rest of the team, like Jrue Holiday, to hit big shots. Middleton to hit big shots. And I'm sorry. People don't want to call it a disappointment because of the injuries. Now, I won't call it a choke job because of the injuries, but to say that this season wasn't a disappointment for the Nets, they're not going to have these guys forever. These guys are not young players. I don't know how long they're going to be here. Next year, after next year, they could all opt out. Have no idea what the length of their stay in Brooklyn is going to be. This is 1 year you take off the ledger, and they did nothing. They did nothing.
You can't. Nothing. There's no argument. There's no way to argue it's not a huge disappointment. And we sat here and talked about what will this team be in the playoffs. And I don't know if you guys remember this conversation, but I felt like a broken record because I just kept saying it's hard for me to picture all three of them on the court in the playoffs. How could you reasonably expect it when we weren't able to see it all year? And when we got there, we lost 50% of the big three. Literally, Kyrie and half of James Harden right. were gone for this series. So it's a ton of pressure on them next year. And you could see the pressure on Antetokounmpo in Game 7. He absolutely knew. The window isn't endlessly open for Milwaukee either. They've been on top of the Eastern Conference already for a few years. So they get a damaged version of this Nets team. They had to take advantage, and guys, you could tell by the effort level, Antetokounmpo was willing to die on the floor in Game 7. He was winded in the second quarter. But there's no way, Michael, to look at it as anything else except a huge disappointment for this team, and you talk about pressure. Next year, the pressure on the Brooklyn Nets is going to be high.
Yeah, they have to win. They have to win because they've traded away their future. And forget about the players they traded away, like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, but all the draft picks and the right to switch draft picks. This is it. This team is built to win with these guys. And now I believe Sean Marks is one of the best executives in sports. That's some heavy lifting to redo this team without any draft capital. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Well,
no draft capital. We saw how hard it was after the Celtic deal.
And now you look at trying to keep all three of them healthy for next year, right? And when you look at a 5 seed in the conference final in the East and the 1 seed gone in the West, Michael, how much load manager are we going to see for the Nets next year? They're going to treat these guys like porcelain dolls, and it won't matter. Just keep them healthy.
I get it, but you know, I'll make the point. I don't think it matters. I see load management throughout baseball. Guys still get hurt. You know, they load manage the net. I mean, Kyrie never played. That's an injury. That's a freak injury, Kyrie's injury. No, but James Harden's a different story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Harden, I think, went out and really laid it out on the line when there were times he was the only star, where KD and Kyrie would be out, and he played, because that's how he does it. That's how he goes. He's a guy that wants to play every single game and play all out all the time. And maybe that hamstring gave because of that effort in the regular season. It was already a team that didn't seem that they cared to get the 1 seed. The 1 seed doesn't matter. They're out. Right, so you got 3 against 5 in the Eastern Conference Final. And, yeah, the Kyrie injury was not wear and tear, but it's something that could happen. Do you want that to happen, you know, in February where he might not be ready for the playoffs if he breaks his ankle? So let's reduce the amount of times where that could possibly be an opportunity. So I hear what you're saying, Michael. It doesn't seem to matter, but it still happens.
Yeah, it'll happen.
So I don't know if they're going to go out and everybody's going to play 82 games and try to get the Golden State Warriors record for wins in a regular season and get the 1 seed. I think you're starting to see that right now preserving those three is your ticket to a championship. And don't have it derailed on a broken ankle in December or Harden and Durant killing themselves playing 40 minutes every single night to get a 1 seed and then wear themselves out. They've got to be right. Michael, let's be honest. If those three are healthy, you don't care if they're the 8th seed.
Right. You're right. You're right. It wouldn't
I don't
matter.
Like it, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, it's 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Later in this hour, and again in the 5 p.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. Like Friday's winners, Edgar Torres from West Babylon and Sal Salerno from Staten Island. You can also cash in by listening to DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg in the 6 and 7 a.m. hours, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Well, Magic Johnson was on KJZ for a while today. I mean, for a while. And he talked about the Nets season and whether or not it was a season of disappointment. Here's Magic.
If they would have had all three guys playing and then get bounced out in the second round, then a disappointment. But because Kyrie couldn't play, Harden, you know, not really himself. But I tell you what, we did see a glimpse of what it could possibly be, right? Because Kevin Durant, I tell you, he just put on a show. Even in defeat, we saw this man take his game to a whole nother level.
Please answer how it's not a disappointment.
It's just semantics, Michael. Yeah, disappointment, failure. If you're, Peter has said it right. You're disappointed. We're talking about this team not losing a game, and they don't even make it out of the second round. Disappointed that Kyrie got hurt. Disappointed that there was an air ball at the end of overtime. Disappointed in Harris's performance. So I think he's talking more along disappointment, failure. Like, I don't think it was an organizational failure that they lost, but how do you not disappoint?
Now, Sean Marks spoke today, and he was asked, was the season a failure?
The term failure can be used in a completely different array of circumstances, you know, far more serious than what we just went through. Is it disappointment? Yes, without a doubt. You know, we're going to own it. We're going to grow from it, as Steve mentioned. And, you know, we'll be better because of this, and we'll progress through this, and we'll learn from, you know, the roller coaster ride that was this last season. But, you know, I don't look at this as failure. I think we all grew as people, as individuals, and as a collective unit here. And we're definitely going to come out with the resolve and the resiliency to attack next season and achieve our goals.
I think he has it right. It's not a failure, because failure would connote that they didn't do the job at full strength, but it is a disappointment. I think I carefully chose that word before we came on the air. To say it's not a disappointment is being disingenuous.
It's such a disappointment, especially the way that the game ended. Did anybody think they were losing in overtime? Thought for a split second they won the game in regulation. There was a 1 second left. You thought it was a three.
And the momentum felt like they would roll in overtime. Once they went to overtime, I was not worried about this team. By the way, guys, when on that last possession of overtime, did they have one timeout left?
Yeah, they did.
Can someone take me through? Like, I know KD was tired, and you certainly can't blame the series on him. He was brilliant throughout the series. But shouldn't Nash just jump in there and call a timeout? Like, that was just poorly executed.
Here's why I think he didn't. The ball was in the guy's hand that they wanted to get in.
Right.
You know, with a timeout. So when he got the ball, I think it was 8 seconds left. If they had called the timeout, they would have gotten it at half court. They could have drawn up a play. But the play would have been essentially let Kevin Durant freelance. But I was disappointed in Durant on that last one. But the way the shot went down, he had no legs, obviously. He was exhausted. Why not drive to the basket? They're calling a foul there. There's going to be contact. They would call a foul. I agree with you, Peter. It was sloppy. That's not the last shot I wanted. They were just down by two. They were not down by three.
I feel the exact same way as you. What is the likelihood? You're the best scorer on planet Earth. He'd been basically unstoppable getting to the hole over this entire series. What? He would have been fouled. It's such a smart take. You get a shot at a layup or a foul, but a step back, turn around three, basically trying to repeat what you just did once. You already hit one miracle. It was just, I don't know. It was, you can't blame KD, but I'm not going to lie. It was a disappointing shot.
Now, Marks was asked about the future of the big three.
It's probably too early to start, you know, discussing what their futures are. Obviously, we're committed to them. You know, I think, you know, they play a big role in how we're going to continue to build this, how we're going to drive our culture and the identity of our team. I think what you see out there is when they were healthy, that's a very, very elite unit. And I don't see any shortage of people wanting to play with them, people want to play alongside them, you know, or them being wanting to be a part of something here. Now, it's going to be up to us to continue to make Brooklyn an environment where not only do they want to re-sign, but our free agents want to return to us, and future people think, hey, there's a heck of an opportunity for me there in Brooklyn to play alongside and play along with those, you know, high caliber players.
And finally, let's hear from the coach. Here's Steve Nash reflecting on the season.
It's tough, you know, really tough. We're so close to advancing. On the one hand, there's a disappointment and pain to not continue and to not go all the way as we as we set out to do. You know, at the same time, you know, look at all the adversity we faced, and then our team gave it absolutely everything they have. So we told the players, you know, just how proud we are of the way they approached the season, the work they put in, the way they were able to overcome a lot of things and put us in a position to continue to play. And, you know, it didn't go our way this time, but we'll take some of this with us and it'll make us stronger. And we'll approach that next season with this, you know, in our toolbox, and it'll, I think, grow our character and resolve.
Boy, it's out of the handbook of today's coaches, all the cliches. Anyway, today Harden and Durant committed to the Olympic team. And if I'm the Nets, I'm red hot.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I'm surprised.
Really? You need to be doing this. Harden has a couple of gold medals. Durant has a couple of gold medals. He's obviously going to break Carmelo's record for most Olympic points scored, but stop. You just had a year. You were exhausted at the end. You have a surgically repaired Achilles. Stop. You really need to be going to the Olympics. And Harden's working on one leg. Really? That's what you need? And the team can't say anything about it, but I wouldn't want him to go.
As a fan, you love it. As management, it's the worst. And listening to that Sean Marks clip, all I could think was, you know, for everyone listening, find yourself a man or woman who loves you the way Sean Marks loves the Big Three. The way that they talk about them, it's like, you know, we just hope that here in Brooklyn we can foster an environment where they feel
comfortable. You mean Steve Nash, not Sean Marks?
No, Sean Marks.
Oh.
We just want to foster an environment further in Brooklyn that will make people happy to be here and for our free agents to re-sign. I mean, I get it, but it's Michael, they don't have a chance at controlling them. I don't even think they'd ask them. I literally do not think the Nets would ask them, hey, can you do us a favor and skip the Olympics? I don't think they'd say a word.
You know, the rules of engagement with the three of them is don't engage them. They're going to do what they want. And if you're okay with it, you're okay with it. It's a trade you're making. We want these guys wearing our uniform, but we can't exactly tell them what to do. We're cool. And I understand it. You know, we get players like this now. Players are in control, and I don't begrudge them that. So the Nets have no say in whatever they do. None. All right, here it is. You ready?
Sure.
98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Just be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score $250 cash. Again, 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through Wednesday in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours for more chances to cash in. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN.
And meanwhile, the Atlanta Hawks could be in the championship.
Yeah, you know who's the most unhappy people of all? TNT. Hawks and the Bucks. Not exactly what they're rooting for.
I mean, I know when you had Brooklyn,
you could have Nets in Milwaukee. You could have Nets in Philly.
Nets in Philly would have been so fun. But listen, I was going to say the person who's least happy is not TNT, it's Andrew Gundling.
Let's bring Andrew in. What do you say? I know he's taking phone calls on the giveaway, but I got to ask him this one thing.
God hates me.
Yeah.
All right, you ready, Andrew?
Yep.
Everything I've heard was that Philly turned down the Harden for Simmons deal. They refused to give up Simmons. Bad move?
If that is how it happened, then, I mean, obviously, yes. Terrible move. Almost unforgivable move.
What's wrong with him, dude? That's all I can say. He had something like 4 shots in the fourth quarter over the entire 7-game series.
Yeah, games 4 through 7, which were all pretty tight contested games in the fourth quarter, he took 0 shots in the fourth quarter in the last 4 games of the series. You're the second best player on the team. These games are close. Embiid is playing on one leg. Like, if you're Ben Simmons, I actually feel bad for him.
Yeah, me too.
But, like, how do you look Joel Embiid in the eyes after that? I mean, the guy is putting his body on the line, and Ben Simmons is too afraid to dunk the ball with 3.5 minutes to go by himself under the basket in, what was it, a 2-point, 3-point game? I mean, I don't know. There's something wrong there.
It looked like one of those moments when a baseball player forgets how to throw. He looked so mentally shook. You would think after the first game, they go, all right, Ben, what happened there in the fourth quarter? After the second game, but game 7, the entire country's watching, the entire world's watching, and you're in a game. I mean, you have Kevin Huerter winning the game for the Hawks. It's wild.
The 33% from the free throw line, Peter, is the lowest percentage of any player in playoff history with 45 or more shots from the free throw line.
And I love the conversation today. Andrew, you correct me if I'm wrong and out of bounds here.
Mm-hmm.
I love the conversation. Well, you know, it's time for Philly to move on. They have to move him. What are you getting for him right now?
You're right. I mean, that's what my friends and I have all been talking about since the game ended. His trade value is...
it's plummeting!
It's terrible. The only things you can hope for is that a disgruntled star on another team demands a trade, so suddenly the leverage kind of evens out between Ben Simmons having low trade value and this player refusing to play for that team again. So
yes,
you have to hope for a situation like that, or you have to just be willing to package Simmons along with other pieces that you're not excited about losing, but you're willing to kind of just take it on the chin to get rid of him. Like Seth Curry was great for the Sixers offensively. He's on an amazing contract. Maybe you have to package him. Obviously, first-round picks would be involved. Tyrese Maxey, who's 20 years old and looked like he's ready for these moments. You'd probably have to include him to make it palatable for another team, because right now, you're right, his trade value is non-existent.
Weird. I guess the I hate to pick at a scab here, but I guess the process really didn't work out, right?
Oh, you'll ruin everything. I mean, I almost don't know if I have the energy to argue it today. I'll say fine if that's what you think. I'm not going to fight you on it. I still disagree, but you know, I'm not really coming from a place that I can put up a great argument for today, so I won't even try.
Wow. Well, I love how defeated you sound. I love it.
You are Why would you love that?
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Such a terrific guy. Seriously. Better than all of us combined.
I love him. He's better than all of us. He is.
But, Don, how bad a friend is Michael?
I didn't call him. I didn't text him after the game.
You might as well have.
Oh, was he with a medal or a chest to pin it on?
Both.
First of all, you can't say he's a bad friend because I don't even know if he's a friend. Because a bad friend implies that you're a friend. That no friend does what he just did, Dan.
Yeah, I know. That's not my friend. By the way, big announcement. Coming up later in the program, maybe during ENN, I will review Michael Kay's book, Center Stage. That's right.
Did you finish it?
No, I didn't, but I read enough.
No, you can't review something unless you read the whole thing.
I'm up to Kareem. I read the introduction to Kareem. I'm at page 278.
Well, then you can. How about we combine for a review then? Because I'm you know, like 130 in.
All I know is I got a lot of tweets this weekend that people went to Barnes & Noble to get the book, and it was sold out.
See, how do you like that?
Yeah. But I don't like that because people are going to get Father's Day gifts, and now once Father's Day's over, you got to have a reason to buy.
Summer of K.
Yeah.
The beach. You need something to read at the beach.
Right.
It's a great beach pool.
Or in Don's case, on the toilet.
A lot of reading gets done there.
See?
I have an indoor pool.
Right? The kids can't get in the... You lock the door, right?
No.
You don't lock the door to the bathroom?
No.
Really? What? Why?
Are you out of your mind?
Here's how
obsessed I am. Let's say the kids are in school, Jody's out doing something.
You're still locking
the door.
That's weird.
Yeah, now, that's going too far. But, Don, you never lock the door?
No.
Why? Are you worried that something could happen and you want someone to be able to get in?
No, I think it's deeper than that. I think he's an exhibitionist. He wants somebody to
walk in.
I'm not
an exhibitionist.
But that's what I'm thinking. There's only two answers, Michael.
No,
but the real answer is that we've kind of child-proofed the locks on all the doors so they don't lock themselves in the bathroom.
So you can't do it is what you're saying.
I can't do what?
You can't lock the door. It's been childproofed against you. You can't even figure it out.
No, I can't figure it out, Michael, but it's not a big deal. They peek their head in, you say get out, and they go.
Oh, this is just awful.
I don't know.
When you don't have
an au pair, and you have to understand
Annie,
the kids are everywhere.
Can I have music? Don wanders into the bathroom because he's got to do his stuff. He's got center stage under his right arm.
Yeah.
He sits down, pulls the pants down to the ankle, sitting there. Everything is there for people to see. He's reading the intro to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Marco walks in. I mean, what do you say to him?
What kind of steak was it? You seem like a bone-in guy. Now, 3.5, they don't care. Daddy, what are you doing? And then you just say, I'm reading. Okay, bye. It's not ideal.
Andrew, do you lock the door?
Not all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
But sometimes.
Yeah. But not all the time.
I know some people that if they saw somebody in that situation, it's a deal breaker for a relationship.
Oh, sure.
Complete deal breaker.
Nancy's in that category.
If she
saw
you.
So you want her to open the door and see you, and then she's walking out.
She knows. Because I'm an announcement guy. I like to tell everybody in the world what I'm doing. So I make the announcement, all right, I'm going to the bathroom. If she sees me with a book going upstairs, I'm done.
You know, it's a great point, Don. And by the way, and the thing is, if sometimes you make the mistake of saying, you get used to saying, I got to pee, right? So if you announce when you pee and the other alternative is, I'm going to go to the bathroom, well, then bathroom has replaced the other word.
Like Kleenex and tissues.
That's
the
right.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take phone calls. 3 o'clock, we have the Iceman, Frank Isola. 4 o'clock, we have the great man, Rick DiPietro. Islanders, Lightning, big game 5 tonight. You can hear it right here on 98.7. Don has the pregame show, so a lot of stuff to do. More money to give away as well. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, figure this will be a little topical. It has to do with injuries again. Top 5 local injuries that could have derailed a championship.
Ooh.
Whew. I went back to my lifetime. We all lived through these. Maybe not Peter.
Well, what one, you got to say Phil Sims. Are you saying the championship did not happen?
That's right. If you listen, that explains
everything. No.
The that open your... to the segment is tremendous.
No, but you said could have derailed
a championship.
You said
could have derailed a championship.
Well, meaning like the debate is whether they would a championship
got
or
it.
Not.
Okay, sorry. But you understand the confusion there.
Not really.
I think it made sense.
The Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily Don.
What do you think it is?
How about Kyrie Irving?
Well, you know what, Michael? It's a great poll, and I think it's number one.
Wow.
Well, because I think that almost the foregone conclusion they were going to win the championship, right? And I think they definitely get by the Bucks, and now you're taking on the Hawks, and now you're taking on, you know, either the Clippers or the Suns. It's hard to say it didn't. So I've got it. Maybe it's recency bias, but I'm not sure that anybody was looked upon as a clear-cut favorite to win a championship. We were talking about would they lose a game, Peter.
It's too bad, too, because that's the only one I'm going to know.
I don't think so. If you wanted to really use your brain.
How about Vinny Testaverde?
You know, Vinny Testaverde, another great poll, Michael. That's number 3. 1999, the Jets go to the championship game against Denver the year before. Had a lead at the half. 10-0. So everybody's pumped, excited. On opening day 1999, Vinny Testaverde tears his Achilles, done for the year, and the Jets, instead of a championship run, finish 8-8 and miss the playoffs. Vinny Testaverde, number 3.
Let me help out. Let me just make Jets fans feel better. No one actually thought they were going to go and win the championship that year.
You're wrong.
No, I lived that time very well. Never once for one moment during those years that I think the Jets were going to win the championship. Even in the championship game, didn't they?
Well, that's your opinion.
I understand.
Who are you taking out?
I have another one, Don.
You're a 20-year-old. You still have a lot to learn.
He just wants to throw punches. I've got another one.
That's true.
Burris.
So Michael's looking to run the table here. Plexico Burris is number 2. Of course, we know from a previous top 5 of strange injuries. He shot himself going into week 11, and the Giants end up losing 3 of their last 4 games of the regular season. Still finished 12-4, but then they lose to the Eagles in the playoff game. And a sub-note to that season, they also lost OCU Mignora in the preseason game against the Jets, but still managed to go 12-4 without him during the regular season. But Plexico, Giants could have been really poised to win back-to-back titles, didn't do it. I've got that at number 2. So Michael's 3 for 3. Now it gets a little
Oh, no.
No. Listen, 4-5 should be harder than 3-2-1, correct?
Correct. That's how it works.
That's right.
You want to give us a sport?
I'll give you a baseball and football.
A baseball and football.
One of them might be right up Michael's alley, you know what I'm saying? Good team. Championship team.
Championship level team.
Come on, Michael. Say one came back, but his absence really cost them, and the other was done for the season.
Michael, what's the Yankee one? Come on.
I'm thinking.
I got Yankee fans telling me how big this was. And also, under very strange circumstances.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Antetokounmpo?
Hello?
Oh, this is hard.
All right, it's time to move on. Yeah, we got it. This, you just can't. We just can't just do this.
All right. Who are you taking out? Well, since it's so close to the clock,
how about,
we can debate it.
How about Bobby Ojeda?
No.
And he didn't even think about it.
Well, I thought about it.
Oh, you did.
I think that's a good one. Also very strange.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, is that
it? Give up.
You give it up?
Yeah.
Well, at number five, I had Goose Gossage. 1979, Yankees back-to-back World Series champions. In April, get to a fight at the urinal with Cliff Johnson, breaks his thumb, missing 2.5 months. Ron Guidry had to close games, if you remember, Michael. And they missed the playoffs despite winning 89 games. But missing Goose for 2.5 months really cost them a chance to get to the playoffs and win a third consecutive title. I've got Goose Gossage at number five. And number four, this Giant team went 10-5-1 in 97 under Jim Fossil. But in a preseason game in 1998, their best player, Jason Sehorn, tears his ACL, returning kicks, and is lost for the season. And the Giants could not follow up the 10-win season, go 8-8. They were going to use him on special teams. He was one of the best corners in football. And they didn't survive. So I've got Jason Sehorn at number four, Vinny Testaverde 3, Plexico Burress 2, Kyrie number 1.
I love it.
I wish I did better.
You really you helped out a lot, Peter. You really did.
I was useless.
But true. That's yet. Tell him, Michael.
He doesn't know.
I know. The Jets, and how can anybody think
there.
The Jets are winning a championship?
You were not
you there.
What do you mean?
Where were you in 79? In Maryland?
79?
I mean, in 99.
I was at Maryland. I was more into football than I ever was.
And you're telling me that you going into that season, they weren't one of the favorites to go to? Why would they the favorites?
I'm not saying they were considered a good team. I'm saying that for me, as an outsider who wasn't living in New York but was watching football, I never believed they would win the championship. No.
You're out of your mind.
I'm out of my mind.
They went to
the
second half of the championship. They got better, and then he tears his Achilles, and they never settled on a quarterback. He should have gone to Ray Lucas right away.
Yeah, but I still, at that point, was not even a believer that Vinny Testaverde was a real thing. It all felt like a miracle. It didn't.
Oh, you know what?
I would punch you right in the nose.
You're very, very tired. You had a very long.
Let me guess. Vinny Testaverde's an all-time great. Let me guess. All-time great. That wasn't by far the best moment of his career, where he was literally talked about. He was the standard for bad quarterback jokes in the NFL.
No, if you want to tell me you didn't believe that they should be considered title contenders. I'm not saying it was unanimous, but you,
all
there
I said
people
was that,
that
I
went
didn't...
in and said, why wouldn't they be? They come back better than they were the year before. They got Bill Parcells as their head coach. They were leading in the championship game the year before.
Now, I have a question. Is it ever possible that the biased one isn't the person who was outside, on the outside looking in, but the people who were on the inside looking out? Is that ever possible?
Don, I got to tell you, I don't have the strength today.
I don't have the voice for it. Both of us combined. You're missing the point. You could say people might have thought that they were the favorites. I disagree. But to just be able to go, oh, no, I never considered. Like, you discounted it. You discarded it as a non.
No, all I said was don't feel thing. Bad, Jets fans. Most people didn't actually think they were going to win anyway.
No, but most that's a most people. Not most people.
Okay.
Let's go back. I got to go find the odds. 99 Vegas odds.
Let's take a brief timeout. We've got Frank Isola coming on in just
Please.
A moment. Stay
That's
tuned.
Frankie Ice.
Yeah, we'll break down the Nets with him. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Go ahead.
So I got home on Saturday. How's the album doing?
The album's doing well. That's the intro to the album. It's my favorite. I love it.
Who did it?
It's by Vel the Wonder, an incredibly talented woman out of L.A., produced by Brooklyn's own DJ Skiz. I know you're a big Skiz guy.
Always have been.
What were you going to say? Saturday night, you were driving home.
No, got home. And I said, this is the night I'm going to activate my new iPhone. Only took me 3.5 hours.
What? Why does it take you time to activate an iPhone?
Because I had taken stuff from the iPhone 6, downloaded it onto the desktop, and then I was trying to reverse that from the desktop to the new phone. Wouldn't do it. Was on with Apple help for maybe 2 hours. I had no clue. No clue whatsoever. So finally I sat down, started Googling stuff, and I completely erased everything that I'd done already, started over again, upgraded the operating system on my 6 to an 11, and then I put the phones together, and they actually can marry each other, and it took 2 hours.
You mean it took 2 hours of the actual process?
No. It took two hours to get to that point, and then it took 2 hours to transfer all the stuff from the 6 into the 11, or into the 12. It was fun.
Yeah, it really was fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a good time.
Now, would the cloud have stopped this from happening?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hope it was worth it.
And today, so the pandemic started last March.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And I've been able to, knock on wood, avoid any kind of cold. Got one now. I mean, if you told me right now, Peter, you said to me right now, Michael, go to sleep for 12 hours, I could give you that.
Right now.
I am so exhausted, and my throat hurts. It's just terrible. Not what you want.
Sorry to hear this, Michael.
Mets roster moves. Robert Gutzelman to the IL. Jeff McNeil activated from the IL. Hmm. Stephen Tarpley recalled as doubleheader 27th man. Which leads me to one little pet peeve that I want to aggressively attack. And I wonder if Don agrees with me.
I think I know what this is.
And that leads us to Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show, brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So the Mets played a split doubleheader with the Nationals. So you know what that is, right, Peter?
Sure.
Pay for one game.
Yeah.
Leave the ballpark. Pay for another game. Go to the second game.
You can't just buy one ticket and stay all day.
No. Okay. Now, here's where Major League Baseball has to protect its fan base. And I know it's a business, but you got to protect your fan base. So doubleheaders have now been negotiated to be seven-inning games. Well, I'm sorry, that's not good enough for one price. If you're going to have one game of seven innings, then 2/9 of the ticket cost must come off. Sorry. Now, if you're going to have a doubleheader, straight doubleheader, one admission, then you could play seven-inning games, actually getting more than their money's worth.
Right.
But you tell me how that's fair, Don, that you have two separate admissions and the single games are seven innings long. How's that fair?
It's not fair because you're not paying for time. You're paying for innings. You're not giving them a complete game. They really need to resolve this because what do they do? Oh, Bumgarner didn't pitch a no-hitter because you got to go nine innings for it to be no-hitter. He only went seven. So you're acknowledging that it's not a full game. So right. Why are you paying full price? Why are you charging full price?
I mean, the absolute gall to do it.
I would call it unmitigated.
You know what? I like to use that, and I will, because this is unmitigated gall, because that is a total lack of respect to your paying customer.
Mm-hmm. How much were the tickets? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, ticket prices are
just
different.
Whatever regular ticket prices are.
Right. It's a regular ticket price for a seven-inning game. How is that even done with a straight face? I mean, did the people at the turnstile wear, like, stockings on their head? It's terrible. How could they do it? How does Manfred not step in and go, no, 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 no. Straight doubleheaders this year if it's seven innings apiece. Because players don't like split doubleheaders. They hate it.
Well, yeah, because remember, you have the split doubleheader because you want to have twice
separate
the game.
Admission. Right.
Because you want the two admissions. So you're admitting you're doing that because you're trying to maximize your dollar. So you're acknowledging that you're in it for the bucks, and I get it, it's a business, but you are not offering a full game. And if you are, if you're going to say, hey, a game's a game, well, then give Madison Bumgarner his no-hitter because a game's a game. But apparently it's not a game. It's not a full game. So if it's not a full game, why are you charging full price?
And today, by the way, is the day strip searches start. They're going to be checking pitchers today. Today they officially begin it, see if anybody gets caught. It'll be a 10-game suspension if they do. Today's the day.
Dear God.
Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Well, we promised you this, and now it's important to deliver.
Put money everywhere.
Here's Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. It cannot be better. Saturday night at 11 o'clock, Brooklyn Nets season comes to an end. And on the gravy, listen, I like Andrew, but Brooklyn Nets at Philadelphia in the same weekend, game seven, out of this, and the misery is over, and the seasons are over for both teams, and the New York hatred, oh my God, it cannot be a better weekend. It is amazing, amazing of a weekend. Saturday night to Sunday night. And when Saturday night happened at around 11 o'clock, 30, whatever time it is, I went to the other room by two big sons and a daughter, even the daughter. Yes! And I said that moment, I raised them good. All our Knicks fans, all Knicks fans are happy today. Thank you. Now I can say my season is a success. That Brooklyn Nets didn't win a championship. They put it on her throat. Just give them the championship. Give them. They are the best team in the league. 30. They play seven games together in the regular season and expect them to play together in a regular playoff run. Expect it. Come on, guys. Don't give me excuses. If he has 6 inches lesser boot than he had that three-pointer, give me a break. Stop giving excuses. It's over. Have a good summer. Enjoy your summer. Next week, season, they come back and we will play together again. But you are in the same misery that we are. We play for the next season now. Have a good, and I like one thing about James Harden. He said it in the press conference. He said, we have to make our body that we can go for a run. That is the only good thing that he acknowledges that they didn't do. So I appreciate that he knows. And let's see, next year he will be in a better physical condition to handle the mental and physical aspects. Good luck to them. Good luck to my Knicks. But enjoy their summer, Brooklyn Nets. You have a great ride. You went for a dream team to win the championship, and you are out in the second round. Bye-bye, Nets. Bye-bye.
That is a man who's genuinely happy.
Do you think
how much happier would he be with a Knicks championship than that?
A little bit more.
Just slightly. Not much. You're right, Don. Not much.
It's narrow.
Listen,
I thought that was a beautiful phone call.
It was all on social media on Saturday. Believe me, he is in the majority. There's a lot of people that felt like Omar. A lot of people. And a lot of people couldn't look forward more than to hear him today.
All Knicks fans are happy today.
See, that's what Don and I are politicking for, Peter.
What's that?
Yankee fans should feel like that about the Mets. Met fans should feel like that about the Yankees. You can't root for two teams. Omar is a big, big supporter of not rooting for two teams.
Bye-bye, Mets!
Look at the joy. Listen to the joy.
And I think Peter would agree with this, that the more diehard you are about a particular team is as diehard you are against another team. And that other team should definitely be the other team in town, if that's applicable, or somebody in your division or a rival, where you are almost as if not as happy when they lose as opposed to your team winning. I think that's a thing, and that's healthy. I think that's good.
I don't have it, though. I don't have anyone that I hate to the point that it would get close to a win for my team.
Not even the Cowboys?
They always lose.
How about Duke?
There was a time when it was like that. When I was at Maryland, it was like that. But, you know, then after Maryland won, I was like, who cares what Duke does? You know, we're a champion now. And then we went back to where we belonged, and they continue in championships. But then, of course, college basketball screwed all that up. So I don't even get to enjoy it at all anymore.
Tonight on MSG Plus, join Butch Goring and Shannon Hogan for live, complete Islanders post-game wrap-up with all the highlights, locker room interviews, and much more. Now remember to turn to MSG Plus immediately following crucial Game 5 of Islanders Lightning Series for the Islanders post-game show. Tonight on MSG Plus, or stream it on MSG Go. We'll come back. We'll talk some more baseball, take more phone calls as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. DPHO 2 at 4 o'clock right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So, Peter, how was your weekend in Tampa? Is Peter there?
As he goes.
Peter, how was your weekend?
The question.
Sorry, what was the question?
How was your weekend in Tampa?
I was feeling the Foo Fighters. The weekend was great. It was, you know, a farewell to Tampa, if you will. As the WWE goes back on the road, the next time I travel will be to the Dallas-Fort Worth area in July.
Nice longer flight.
Why do you have to make it? Don't go that way with it.
Well, it is. It's a longer flight.
Yeah, they're going to be longer. And then the following flight is Vegas.
You want to be
even
a star.
Longer.
You want to be a star, don't you?
No, it's not about wanting to be a star. I don't know if I'm going to become a star from it, but I really enjoy the work. It's a lot of fun.
Well, okay.
My brother thinks you do a terrific job. It was actually on at the house.
Your brother is so kind and supportive of my stuff. He really is a great guy.
Yeah, what is this new thing? You even put this in tweets now.
I do well.
I've been saying it for months and months, and you don't pay
attention. I know. Well, you made it up, so you're quoting yourself?
I'm not. It's not a quote of myself. It's just a way of describing people.
Okay.
You know how, like, you'll say, like, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? And you go, well, you know, his breath's terrible and his politics are the worst. But besides that, he's a great guy. That's sort of the origin of it.
Got it. So you're saying he's not a great guy, then?
Well, in theory, but now it's taken on meaning actually a great guy. Don, you follow me, don't you?
Yes, I do. I knew exactly what you were talking about.
He understood. Although Dave did put something a little bit weird up on Twitter yesterday. He posted a picture of me and the lovely woman who co-hosts with me on the – she's the real host, actually. I co-host for her on the kickoff shows. And he was like, is it just me or are you digging Kayla and Peter's chemistry? Now, I think he just meant professional chemistry.
That's what he
talked
about.
The way it was worded and the picture that he used – I think people on the internet are not bright enough, Don, to understand that he meant professional chemistry.
Well, I don't know why you say people on the internet, because Miss Hatton, you know, slipped into my DMs and was complaining about it yesterday.
No, that's just simply not true.
Don't tell me. I'll show you.
All right, please. I'd like you to screenshot and send it over.
I'll do that.
Along with Rick's pay stub.
Well, the Owls are home for the semifinal round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have the chance to score tickets to Game 6 on Wednesday night. Visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN to fill out an entry form and get ready to bring the noise to cheer on the Isles. All entries must be received by noon tomorrow, so you must enter soon. Again, visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN for your chance to win. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rich in California.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Listen, I got a good one for you. The summer of 1971, Joe Namath goes down in a preseason game, and Paul Newmoth, linebacker for the Lions, comes in and hits him in his left knee. He's out for the most of the year. Remember, he comes back halfway through the season and almost pulls off that big win against the 49ers.
Jets, so you say that should be part of Daily Don, but I think Don said in his life. So that, what were you, like, three?
In his
Don?
Life?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
I was.
Were you born?
I was 68. So
that's
I was
your life,
four.
Don.
I was four.
What year were you born? In the 68? Okay, in your life. Okay, that's in your life, but you don't. Us old guys know this stuff. You know, old guys listen to you guys too, you know.
Oh, you,
you don't say.
No.
Believe
it's
me,
all
I embrace
that,
it.
It's all that listens to us.
Best cover for Light My Fire, Jose Feliciano.
Oh, sure. That's very good. I don't know if it's better than the original, but it's good.
Okay. All right. Now, if you guys like Chicago, go on YouTube and watch Leonid and Friends. The best cover I've ever heard in my life. Leonid and Friends, bunch of Russian guys. They play Chicago almost better, probably better than the original. So check them out.
The coincidence is incredible. Just tonight I was thinking I want to watch some Russians performing covers of Chicago.
You know what? Rich brings receipts, though. I like it. He brings receipts.
He did.
And that's important.
He listens. It's important. Yeah, it's very important.
Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Mike.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm actually enjoying some time at home. My wife actually just had a baby.
Congratulations.
Day, so.
Wait, when did she have it? When did she have the baby?
She had it just this past Thursday.
Hey, well, happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. It was beautiful. Unbelievable. Never really understood the day, but I completely understand now. Unbelievable.
Oh, you'll get it even more.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to call. I know a lot of people today are making jokes about Ben Simmons. I've seen a lot of funny memes on Instagram, and rightfully so. He didn't show up in the playoffs, and we're going to judge him based on these moments. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at it purely at a basketball perspective. And the kid's 25 years old, and since he's been in the league, he really hasn't been coached up. I mean, Andrew knows as good as anyone. Brett Brown was an atrocious coach. And in my opinion, and I've called you guys multiple times and told you this, that Doc Rivers, in my opinion, is the most overrated coach in the NBA. With that said, if everyone lives in the now, everyone's going to say he needs to get dumped. If I'm the Knicks or a team, you know, like the Knicks, you buy low on a kid like Ben Simmons and you pair him with a coach like Tom Thibodeau, who's proven in terms of player development and taking guys, you know, such as Julius Randle, just using Randle as an example, Jimmy Butler, you know, Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson, the list goes on and on and on. With that said, like, you know, everyone's looking at these ridiculous trades, Zion Williamson, Luka Doncic. That's not realistic. Let's look at what's realistic. Buying low on a guy like Ben Simmons, who hasn't even scratched the surface as to where he could be in this league, you know. So I just wanted to call and kind of say this because, you know, everyone's, you know, bashing this guy, and, you know, we still don't even know what he could be.
Yeah, but one thing, there's a couple things. You got to try for Luka. You have to try for Zion. It might be pie in the sky, but how can you not try for it? Now let's bring Andrew in. Are you done with Simmons?
I think they should aggressively explore trading him. Absolutely.
But not to the Knicks.
I mean, I don't know who. I think whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Would the Knicks and Sixers make a deal like that?
If the Sixers feel that they're getting a good package back from it, then there's no team that I would rule out right now. Because if he's going to be the second best player on a team that thinks they can win a championship. He has to be willing to try offensively, or at least give them something offensively from a scoring perspective, and he's not doing that. And he's shown no effort really to try. I mean, look, the Sixers have tried, I think, several different ways of getting through to him. There was some tough love. I don't think as poorly of Brett Brown as that caller thinks I do. I thought they tried with Simmons, and I think ultimately it's just been on him. I saw Doc Rivers spoke today and said that they now have a plan moving forward. They think they've identified the things that are wrong with him, and they're going to work on it this summer. I've got to believe the Sixers have tried many things with him before, and this is kind of who he is. It's not like we had some revelation the last 2 weeks. This has been the knock on him for 4 years, and instead of him plateauing or showing small signs of improvement here and there, he's actively regressing. So I think the Sixers are well within their rights to explore a trade to move him on and bring somebody new in who can at least contribute in a more meaningful way offensively.
Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. I do have two quick questions to stay on this point, but Andrew, Anthony, can you give me a breaking news sounder? Michael,
wow.
You're up there.
Okay. All right.
So you just mentioned it previously, 12 minutes prior to the show, Miss Hatton tweeted out, working on a website, can't wait to show you guys. I want to know your thoughts on that, on this new website coming out, Michael. I'm sure you're excited about it.
Well, it's going to what she's, you know, presenting on the website. Peter, do you know?
Yeah, it's going to be her work.
Mm-hmm. Fire pit stuff?
Oh, so there's not a location on that website that would be exclusively for fans?
I mean, this is somebody it's close. This is not just.
No, I think Cullum is asking the right questions.
I think he's being rude. Only fans?
Because I know Michael K wants to ask these questions, but he won't. He won't.
Oh, you know? Oh, then you really don't know
Michael
me.
Michael K wants to get answered.
Oh, I'll ask them fine.
I'm only kidding. But
sure you are.
My question was about the Knicks. Would you take Ben Simmons over Julius Randle? That's my first question. Hello?
I'm thinking, Cullum.
Oh.
Well, Simmons is younger. Signed for longer. Yeah, I think I do. Just for the upside.
Okay. All right. So Ben Simmons is still over Julius Randle as of today.
Because I think the upside, I think we've seen Julius Randle's upside, which is good, but it wasn't good in the playoffs. And Simmons was terrible in the playoffs, but I think Thibodeau's staff is better than the Sixers staff.
Well, Randle didn't help himself.
Yes or no? Don and Peter, do you have an opinion on that question?
Well, I was going to just say, Randle didn't help himself because while he was certainly much better than Simmons was in the playoffs, he wasn't special in the playoffs either. But to me, I don't see Simmons as a viable player at this exact moment. Maybe I'll feel different when the season starts.
Why am I making that deal?
Like, what do you mean?
How much better am I getting? Possibly getting better. It's almost like dealing for a prospect, right? You're hoping you can fix him. Because if he can't, then why would you want to make that deal?
But maybe you think you could fix him, and then the upside's higher.
Like the Mets were going to fix Zambrano, remember?
Well, I mean, but yeah.
Everybody thinks they can fix him. But 4 years, the Sixers have been trying with two different coaches. It hasn't worked.
Let's try it a different way. Andrew, would you trade Simmons for Randle?
So the part of me that likes it is Julius Randle in that role fits exactly what you guys have been saying he would thrive at, where he's a legitimate number two. He's not being asked to shoulder the load offensively. Embiid is still 100% that guy. So I think it's good for Randle. The problem is what the Sixers really need is a competent and scoring point guard. Randle wouldn't be that. They would still have a huge void at that position. I don't know if the Sixers could... I don't know. If they could do that without having to package first-round picks or Tyrese Maxey or Matisse Thybulle, I would strongly consider it. Julius Randle's an all-star this season. He's an expiring contract, too, so if it doesn't work out, they would have money available to them.
So let me ask you, Andrew, if you were the Knicks, would you do it?
Right now, no. I don't believe that I would.
Well, because, Michael, he's a project, which should affect how much you have to give up for him. Now, the Sixers wouldn't be actually dealing in the strength here. They wouldn't have a ton of leverage. But if I gotta pick up somebody that I have to fix, that if I fix him correctly, I can make him the best player on my team. Why am I trading the best player on my team to find that out? So the Sixers are going to have to, unfortunately, get less because there's a possibility he can't be fixed. You make trades based on the reality of the moment more so than, you know, it's one thing you got a prospect and everybody believes this prospect's going to be great. He's already a guy that's an established NBA player that seems to be broken. Now I have to fix it. That's going to cost you. Right?
Oh, I get it, but so I mean, give up he's my in the last year of his contract, too. First, wasn't he a number one pick, Andrew, in the whole draft?
Simmons was, yes.
The upside is unbelievable. I don't think he's that broken. Well, he might be broken. I heard Magic today on KJZ say he's gone with the Sixers. He's done. He said his relationship in that locker room will never be the same. The fans will hate him forever. So I think they've got to get rid of him.
Okay.
Somewhere else could be a new start for him.
Right.
But they're not going to give him away.
He's worth picking up, but because of him being damaged, because he's done in Philadelphia, according to Magic Johnson, that's going to cost the Sixers in a deal. And why, if I'm the Knicks, am I making a deal giving up my best player? So I would be interested if I were the Knicks. I'm not giving up Julius Randle.
Let's go to Dan in Farmingdale. Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show. Been listening forever.
Thanks.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to talk to you about your call on the triple play yesterday. I thought it was incredible how you went into your double play call, and then I think you realized that it could be three, and to do that in that moment, I thought you nailed it, as always. And I had a question. In your business, you know, broadcasters, when you see a lot of professional players reach out to each other or go to Twitter when a big performance is going out, do you guys ever – like, will you get something from Breen? Be like, "Hey, Michael, you really nailed that one." Does that happen in your line?
Yeah, it does. You do get those texts from all around the country. This wasn't one that I think particularly stood out. Important texts are, you know, people that you work with, and a lot of people reached out from Yes and thought it was a really good call. I thought it was okay, and a really astute pickup by the guy, because I usually could be too. So as a ground ball to third. And as he fielded it, I said, could be. And then I stopped myself from saying two, because in my mind it started to calculate it could be three. And, they have it here. So if you haven't
let's
heard
listen,
it.
Then, shall we?
If you want. Here it is.
This could be one, two, on the first. It's a triple play. They've done it again. Three times a charm. And the Yankees win 2-1. Can you believe it?
That was a best call you've ever made.
Ever.
You're
not a big fan, so.
I'm not a huge fan, but I think that was tremendous.
Thank you.
The triple play thing, by the way, that's happening with the Yankees is fascinating. Because, Michael, how much of it is just profound luck that these balls are being hit the way they are in the situations in which they're being hit?
Total fortune. It's all luck.
I mean, because when you think about it, a triple play isn't an extremely hard play if the third baseman's in position to put his foot on the bag.
Right. It's just that how often is the ball hit there?
Right. How often is it hit in a way where you take no time getting your foot on the bag? But think about it. It was a 6-4-3 double play, right? I mean, triple play, right?
5-4.
5-4-3 triple play. A 5-4-3 double play or 6-4-3 double play is almost the exact same thing.
Yeah,
it's just slight location
stepping on
difference.
The bag. Right, absolutely.
And you need a slow runner.
Right, he's a catcher.
That too.
He was a catcher. Although if it's hit really hard, you don't, Don. If it's hit really that wasn't
True.
Hit that,
that
hard.
Wasn't.
If it's hit really hard, you could whip it around and still get the runner at first.
Well,
base,
the exit velo of some of these guys, I guess that could certainly help.
Well, let's take a brief timeout. Nice to get a compliment. We'll come back. More phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Giving away $250 in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay right here. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff going on today. We got a Met doubleheader. We got the Islanders against the Lightning. Yankees are off enjoying taking two out of three against the A's, and the A's lost their first road series of the year. It's amazing. Wow. They've been 8-0-1. And the hottest team in baseball when they came in and they lose two out of three to the Yankees. The Mets had a rough weekend against the Nationals, losing four out of five to Washington with a couple of doubleheaders, and they couldn't get Kyle Schwarber out. Been the hottest hitter in baseball. But we start the 5 o'clock hour with the postmortem on the Nets. It's really it's hard to look at this as anything but a disappointment. Because even without Kyrie and even with half of a Harden, they still were very close to winning, probably should have won. And I said this earlier, and both Don and Peter, I think, agreed with me. You can't blame Durant, although he went 0 for 6 in the overtime. I did tell you that there would be a manifestation of how much he's played. I think we saw it in Game 7 in the overtime. He had nothing. I think he was 0 for 6 from the field. Then the last shot was an air ball. And boy, was that a kind of a microcosm of the whole overtime. And they ended up losing, and the Bucks go on to play the Heat. Not the Heat, the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's no way you could have envisioned this. Omar did, but I didn't. Even with the injuries, I thought they were going to win Game 7. I said that on Friday. I thought they'd win Game 7. And it's got to be a ball-peen hammer to the knees for the Nets organization, because the time is limited with these three guys. It's the best way to say it. You're not going to have them for 10 years. It's not a 10-year run. Also, they're a little flighty. They might go. They might go. So they can opt out after this season. And one thing that Durant has done is proven that he is still one of the best players, if not the best player in basketball. He's come all the way back from the Achilles injury, all the way back, and he was dynamic this year. So he plays one more year. If they don't win a championship, guys, you could lose Kevin Durant. You lose Kevin Durant, you're going to lose Kyrie Irving. You lose Kyrie Irving, you're going to lose Harden. So the window is very, 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 very small. And I truly believe that this team will have the most pressure to win a championship than any team I could think of in New York in recent history. Next year, they must win a championship or this whole grand experiment would have gone down the toilet.
Yeah, you put super teams together to do what? To win. And is history going to remember, well, they got hurt in that one year, another year this happened, another year that happened? No, you put a super team together, and the idea is to win a championship, probably multiple championships, but at least one. How would it look if those three are together for the next 3 years and don't win? So that means they're together probably for what, 3 years? And now one of those years is gone?
And another one of those years, Durant didn't play.
Well, I'm talking about this year and then two more.
Well, but they might not have two more is what I'm saying. Well, they could opt out.
Well, that would be pretty weak if they did, but you never know. Oh, by the way, just before I forget, 1991, North Stars Penguins Stanley Cup Final. Both teams came into the league the same year.
And our buddy Kofi also said Jacksonville against Carolina came very close. They both went to the conference championship games in their second year.
Yeah, absolutely, with the Jaguars losing to the Patriots. And the Packers beating the Panthers. Yeah, so you're right. You're talking about having an amazing amount of pressure because how would it look? But isolating this, there is a reason. Because I keep talking about disappointment. Yes, failure. Failure means what do we do to correct what went wrong? Well, what went wrong was you were playing with half of your big three. That's what went wrong, right? We could talk about Harris, but Harris might have cost you in real time. But overall, Harris isn't somebody you bring in thinking that's going to be the guy that's going to contribute to the championship. It's really about those three. And if those three are together, we're talking about them playing the Atlanta Hawks in the conference final, being an overwhelming favorite to take on the winner of Clippers Suns and being an overwhelming favorite in the finals. So you could talk about Harris or what this didn't do, who didn't call timeout, what call didn't go their way. Michael, the reason that this team is done is because they played with literally half of their big three. So how do you correct that? How do you go into the offseason and make sure that doesn't happen again?
You got to be sure they stay healthy. I don't know how you could do it.
Now, you mentioned, and Frank Isola agreed, maybe you can get a little bigger and you can start thinking about depth in case somebody goes down. But how much can you really plan for that happening again?
It's going to bring some really hard questions because you do have to decide whether isn't the bummer of all this, guys, that Joe Harris was like the homegrown piece here?
Kind of quasi homegrown.
I mean, quasi homegrown, but relative to this team, he's a yep. Net. He's someone mm-hmm. who's thought of as being a real Brooklyn Net, someone who is a remnant from the team when it was LeVert, Dinwiddie, Allen, Harris that battled against Philly a couple years ago, and now he's the guy you have to question about whether he's a piece on this team or not. Sort of, I mean, to a lesser extent, like the conversation about Randall and his performance in the playoffs, but this was worse. Because Harris really, Michael, the point you made earlier, has one job, knock down open threes. And he could not do that throughout the entire series.
And I kept thinking about something Sarah Kustak told us last week. Because I had asked her, you know, how do you game plan for losing a player like this? And she said they have a plan for every scenario. And if that's the case, guys, do you then look at, all right, let's build a team that can still win if we lose Kyrie. Let's build a team that we could still win if we lose Harden. Let's build a team that we could still win if we lose KD. How feasible is that in
you
a
can
salary
have a plan,
cap
Don.
Sport?
Plan B is never as good as plan A. And
right.
I will tell you this, Frank didn't answer this question when I asked him, but they would have beaten the Bucks if they had never made the Harden deal. Now, after watching Harden play when he's healthy, I understand why they made the Harden deal. But if you had Jared Allen, and to a lesser extent, Caris LeVert, and Kyrie went down with the ankle injury, you beat the Bucks with Jared Allen. You do.
Okay. Now let me ask you this: where do they finish in the standings if they don't make that deal? Because remember,
right about where they finish.
I don't know, because look how big Harden was when KD and Kyrie were both out.
Mm-hmm.
How many games did Harden, Peter, play where he was the only guy on the court? I mean, the only of the big three.
More than any other one.
Right, so what would their record be? They were a 2 seed. Maybe they dropped down to a 4. I don't know. You know, so, yeah, you could say that, but maybe they end up not playing the Bucks. You know, maybe in the second round they're playing the Sixers. You know, maybe that would have been better. Maybe they would have been better off. I don't know. But I don't know how you not make the Harden deal.
No, I think you make it, as I said. But if they had not made it, like if the Sixers traded Harden to the or the Rockets traded Harden to the Sixers for Ben Simmons, I think that the Sixers beat the Hawks.
I think the most interesting thing that Frank said in that interview, when you talk about it being a failure because they had KD, is KD so good that should have been enough?
I think it's hard to win with one player.
I know, but, you know.
But isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Super team, super team, super team. What's Atlanta? Trae Young's a tremendous young star. They ain't sniffing super team, and they found themselves in the conference final.
That's where you build and you make sure you are. You don't have a super team, but you have depth. But, you know, LeBron went to a final with just him, right? Was that compare the Cav team he took and lost to the Spurs to the Net team that they lost Game 7. Who was a better team? And yet he still went to a final, right?
Yep.
So, and we're talking about a second-round loss. Now, again, it's the Bucks, and you messed around in the regular season, right? You didn't care about winning the 1 seed. This is the one thing where you can really get on the Nets if you want to, because I'll feel bad for them for the injury, and I will tell you it cost them a championship. But maybe you're not playing the Bucks in Round 2. If you took that game against the Sixers seriously when you decided it was more important for KD to play against the T-Wolves on a makeup game than it was to play the 76ers on national television. You didn't care about the one. If you got the one, you're playing the Hawks in the second round, and you probably win. Maybe you don't, but you got, I think, an easier time than having to take on a Buck team that very well could win the championship. So you took on a Buck team during the height of your injuries because of your arrogance and how you treated the regular season. Am I wrong? They could have gotten that one seed, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
They didn't care, and now they end up getting the Bucks in the second round. Now, I don't want to disrespect the Hawks, but I think the Hawks aren't as good as the Bucks. So maybe you survive, and then maybe you get Kyrie back late in the third round. Maybe Harden's a little bit stronger in that third round. And you would have taken on maybe a Sixer team, or maybe you would have taken on the Bucks because it looked like the Sixers were going to lose to whoever they were going to play. But you had taken on the Bucks, and maybe it's a different situation.
Now, I just got to tell you, Jacob DeGrom starting the first game against the Braves. So let's say he threw 8 pitches, 9 pitches. I'm not quite certain. I wasn't keeping track that closely. Six of them were over 100 miles an hour. The seventh was 99. The other two were 93-mile-an-hour sliders. As he retires the Braves in order 1, 2, 3. So doesn't seem to be any lasting effect whatsoever to the issue with his shoulder. Back to the Nets. Magic Johnson was on with KJZ for about an hour today, and he was asked, well, what's the problem with the Nets? Here's Magic.
They're going to need some really good role players. The ones they have now is not going to help them win a championship. So they got to get guys who can really fill a role and bring something to the table. That's the one thing I think Brooklyn has to trade for or sign this offseason, get some role players that can, a tough guy down low that can give them second shots.
I thought Tucker would be a great fit.
And then finally it was asked, what do the Nets need then, Magic?
If I'm Brooklyn, I'm saying, maybe I really don't need another scorer, Jay. Montrezl Harrell would be good for them, right? A guy that just, I don't need the ball. I go get all the rebounds and second shots. I bring energy and fire. You need guys like that. Mm-hmm. You don't need another guy that needs the ball, Jay. That's not going to help you win the championship. But let me say that the GM for the Brooklyn Nets has been doing a fabulous job. And he will bring in the right pieces. He's already done that with the big three. So now just look for those role players who can take you over the top.
But here's the deal, okay? If the big three's healthy, they don't have to do anything.
Nope.
That's why it's such a wow. Jacob DeGrom walked off the mound, right? And the umpires are checking his glove and his hat. It's unbelievable.
This is it. This is the folly that this is.
And now they're making him open up his belt. This is a joke. You're taking the best pitcher in baseball and you're embarrassing him with nothing at all to indicate that he was doing anything wrong.
You envision it in your head, right? And you think, boy, that's going to slow the game down. How's that going to look? And I'm just looking at the replay.
Disgraceful.
And just watching it, it's the biggest joke. It is one of the biggest sports jokes I can possibly think of. And again, it's not because it's DeGrom. Anybody just seeing it, Michael.
Because right? To me, did they have any proof? Were any of the balls that he threw sticky? Anything? Did it have any residue on it? If it didn't, why are you checking him? Why are you checking him? I don't get it. What did he do?
What it is guilt. You know, you're guilty until proven innocent.
What? So he's guilty because he's filthy?
Right. Well, no, because they're just going to arbitrarily do it. It's like a DUI.
That's terrible.
We're just gonna take the fifth car that goes through, and we're gonna put them to the side, and we're just gonna arbitrarily.
Well, and that car happens to be a really flashy sports car too. Like there's a reason that he's getting stopped.
But if you're gonna stop him, right, you got to stop everybody. Sorry, you have to.
Well, that's what they're gonna do. It's just gonna be arbitrary. But the fact is that can you have some evidence, like? If you see, maybe it's guy. Listen, he threw 8 pitches and 6 of them were 100 miles per hour. We're going to check. But it's arbitrary. But it's just seeing it, Peter. I don't know if you had it on, but it's like, oh, my God. It's just ridiculous.
It's just an awful look. You're taking one of your most high-profile players. You're embarrassing him. Now, if he does something wrong, go get him. He deserves it. But did you have any instance of a baseball that looks suspicious? Are you following him with a Rapsodo camera that you can actually see what the spin rate is? And if you're not, and you just checked him because, well, we have to check him because he's great, disgraceful. Disgraceful. Baseball should be ashamed of itself. And you know what? Watching this game right now, Gerrit Cole, who's starting tomorrow, going to get more of the same. They might make him take his clothes off.
It's I didn't know what to think of it until I looked at it. It just looks so bad. It just looks really bad. And he was laughing. He was cool with it, you know, because he knows he didn't have to anything to worry about.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Maxwell in Manhattan. Maxwell.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to talk back on the trade that you were discussing between, you know, a Ben Simmons, Julius Randle situation, because I feel as if the Knicks ever put a trade like that together, the Knicks would look like the suckers in this sense. Ben Simmons, you know, great defender, but, you know, the point guard position has evolved so much in the modern day that if you can't shoot, if you're afraid to shoot, you might as well play 5-on-4. Ben Simmons, for as good of his defense is, he was so afraid to do anything in that game, and I think that that's what cost the Sixers in the end, the whole series.
I agree with you, but maybe, Maxwell, maybe the answer is this. Don't have him play point guard. Move him to the 3 or the 4. He's a great defender. Move him to the 3 and the 4. He shouldn't be a point guard. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's an issue. So I have no problem if you get him and you move him to the 3 or the 4. He's not a point guard. A point guard has to shoot free throws.
Has to.
You got to be because you've got to drive the lane and initiate contact. You're going to get fouled. Richard Jefferson said they must trade him. He said he's useless in Philadelphia now. He said he's broken. There's no way. It was a tweet he just sent out about 3 minutes ago. He said you have to trade him.
And again, to Andrew's point earlier, unless you find a team who is desperately trying to get out from under a player who doesn't want to be there or something, his value's in the absolute toilet after last night.
Let's go to Anthony in Flushing.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you guys?
What's up, man?
Let me ask you a question. Yep. None of you guys have brought up the fact that any of you be shocked if the Hawks beat the Bucks?
I don't know if shocked, Anthony, but I'd be surprised. I think the Bucks are a really good team.
I'll tell you why I'm saying it. Trae Young, the Knicks should be so lucky to get a kid like that, especially when you have all the three-point shooters that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You have a kid like that that could drive the lane and score the basketball and pitch it out to the three-point shooters. That might be the way to go in the future, because I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't be at least surprised if the Hawks beat the Bucks, because the Bucks have nobody to defend that kid. I don't think there's a team in the NBA that could defend that kid.
Well, who do the Hawks have to defend Antetokounmpo?
I got to tell you what. If I were the Knicks right now, the two guys from the Hawks that I would do anything to trade for, number one would be Clint Capella. To have a guy like that lead the NBA in rebounds and to be able to score the way he has, but the only way he scores that way is because of Trae Young. So when you say the Bucks, besides the Greek Freak, who do they really have that's a grab? All right, I'll give you Middleton as a
Middleton's a very good player.
Middleton's a terrific player.
And Holiday can be a very good player, too.
Come on. He's terrific players. And they have a nice bench, too. And Tucker's a great defender. So, shocked I would not be. I'd be surprised if the Hawks.
I'll tell you what, Michael, this series got incredibly less sexy being Milwaukee and Atlanta. And I really had a change of course in that I thought that the Nets were boring a few weeks ago. But we all agree that this sort of depleted version of the Nets was very interesting. The Kevin Durant fighting for his entire team, that version of the Nets I thought was fascinating. But as the day has gone on, I got to tell you, I'm excited about the Milwaukee-Atlanta series. I think it's going to be terrific basketball.
Yeah, forget about the eye candy. You just like different teams. That's what excites me about it. You know, it's different teams. We're getting to know different players. I mean, was Trae Young on anybody's radar as far as being like a super talent that you had to go watch every night? And now he's become that. So getting the steady diet of Golden State, Cleveland every year – Or just the same player. It was just nice to see four different teams, right? Can the Clippers and great storylines? Can the Clippers survive without Kawhi? Phoenix without Paul, right? And what's going on there? And then this unknown Atlanta team that was the 5 seed. I mean, how often do you have in a season a team with home court disadvantage the whole way through possibly make it to the final? Not since the Knicks, I guess, in 99.
I will tell you this, though. I would have loved seeing a fully loaded net team in the playoffs. Fully loaded. Absolutely would have been awesome. It would have been exciting.
Yeah, but I think the nation would yawn because I don't think they'd be tested, and I don't think the storylines would be nearly as compelling as this.
Yeah, but greatness is pretty intoxicating. Even if they blow through people, it would be intoxicating. I don't know.
I don't know what the ratings would be if every series was like, you know, 3-0, 3-1, no decisive games for them. The fact that they faced a little adversity, I think, actually made that series against the Bucks fun.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you're telling me
as great, as compelling as those three would be, lighting it up and sweeping the Bucks in four, if that Durant shot was a three, that's much better for the league. If that shot had gone down as a three and they won that game seven that way.
Well, hold on, and also let's be clear: how short is our memories? Do we remember the first two games of that series?
Yeah, they were blowouts. Yeah, they were blowouts.
It was an absolute joke. When you go back, and it seems like a million years ago, because Kyrie's been hurt, it seems like forever. But they were just toying with them.
Let's take a brief time out, take some phone calls. You'll have a chance to win $250, and we'll talk to the big fella at the end of the hour. Then ENN, big show, lots to do. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.